Okay, can you hear me?
Amen.
Glory to God, hallelujah. I am being amplified. Sorry. Okay, so it's wonderful to be here this evening, and thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to speak. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the GE Power Company section of your Bible, and we're going to rest our eyes on Colossians. By way of making myself a little bit less nervous, I wanted to share with you guys a family story. I was much younger, and my parents were they just recently gotten saved, and they were going through connection classes, or new converts classes. And one of the things that they had to do was learn the books of the Bible. So I don't know if my father came up with it or what, but he said it to my mother. My mother passed it on to me when I was, 10. And then when I actually started opening my Bible when I was 18, it helped me out a whole lot to understand. So, yes, yeah, so in addition to that, we're going to talk a little bit about power tonight. So we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 through 11. We're going to read verse 9 through 11. So the title of my message this evening is We Need God's Power in the New Year. Now, as a way of introduction, I went into my back room. I have a separate refrigerator just for drinks. And I went back there and I opened it up. Now look, I was looking for this Voltage, Voltage Mountain Dew. It's blue and it's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. If you see Brandon right now, he's smiling. But I absolutely love it, and it's great cold. So I go back to the refrigerator and I open it up and the light doesn't come on. But it was still kind of cool. I said, that doesn't make any sense. I don't even understand why the light wouldn't come on. And so I'm looking around, I'm flicking the light on and off in the room, and I'm finding that that's still working. So I was like, okay, it's not the circuit breaker. What's going on? And I came to find out that the plug that was supposed to be in the wall had knocked out. There was no power going to the refrigerator. I mean, as far as I was concerned, that refrigerator was worthless. I mean, it's way too bulky to use as a bookshelf. It doesn't, it's way too closed off for me to put my cat in it. I mean, you know, he probably would never come out. And it's pretty much too much of a waste to keep it around if it doesn't cool any food. Now, when we look at a Christian without the power of God over their life, they fall into a similar category. When we don't have the power of God over life, we end up too focused on our own selves to put others first. We end up being too easily swayed by sin to see how to define what really is good. And just to let you guys know, the way to define what's good is not what we feel, what we like, what we think. It's actually God. Settle. And lastly, we end up being useless as a Christian. No power for God, we are useless as a car without gas when we need to get someplace. So let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God. And I'll just read verses 9 through 11, but I'll be using 12 through 18 later on in the message. Okay. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all blessings, or unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Father, we just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. Lord, we thank you for your word and the preciousness of it, Father, the truth that is in it, and the direction that you give us through it. Lord, I ask that you would work through me this evening, Lord, and just preach your word, Father, through me, Lord. Help me to be an empty vessel this evening. Lord, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please have a seat. So my proposition to you guys this evening is, stepping into 2018, we need God's power in prayer, we need God's power to please him, and we need God's power in patience. We need God's power in prayer. Now, in verse number 9, it says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you. I think this is too close. My wife warned me. She said, don't play with it a bunch, and don't breathe real hard. And I still ended up doing it. I'm sorry, Miss Gail, but I love you anyway. So we need God's power in prayer. That's not good either. Okay, let's try that. Okay, we need God's power in prayer. Now, the Sunday school teacher asked, what is prayer? So here comes little Johnny, raising his hand quickly and said, that's a message sent to God at night and on Sundays when the rates are a little bit lower. Paul said he prayed without ceasing, consistently praying, constantly praying, always lifting those people from the church of Colossae up to God. Verse number 9, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which is a very common and familiar passage, it says to pray without ceasing. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Not just a free nights and weekends, but daily and even more hourly, constantly seeking God's truth. As a caution, though, I would tell you, when you're driving, please don't close your eyes. It's not very safe. I crack myself up. I'm sorry. It's fine. You guys don't have to laugh. I'm used to it. Matter of fact, I need Jasmine here because she laughs at all of my jokes. It's awesome. Okay. James chapter 5, verse 16 says the effect of prayer. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, a righteous man is a man that's walking in God's power, not in his own. He's not focused on his desires. He's focused on God's desires specifically. Now, we need God's power in prayer, but we need to also pray for power. Now, this is a rule for any ministry. I'm sure most of you guys have heard this, but if you've never heard this before, take this, write this down in the inside of your Bible, etch it wherever so you can always see it. But if you only pray a little bit, little prayer, you only get a little bit of power. If much prayer, you have much power. No prayer, you have no power. Prayer unlocks the power of God in you and others and in whatever situation that you're in. I'm standing here today preaching to you guys the gospel because of the prayer sent to God on my behalf. That's the only reason why I'm standing here. Prayer works. Use it. Works, use it. And if you need any testimonies, an eyewitness or a personal testimony, you can always go to Sandra Hooper. She can tell you more stories than I would like her to tell you. Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, we find Peter in jail. And he was all set and ready to go to trial the next day. And then we find that the church in Jerusalem prayed without ceasing. And in verse 5 of chapter 12, it says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And what happened? It was a miracle. An angel came and hit Peter on his side. But then he woke him up and he released him from prison. Matter of fact, it was so much of a miracle that when Peter got released, he went straight to where the church was and knocked on the door. She was like, who is this? Peter? No, there's no way. This is Peter. Called more people to the door. God did a mighty work because of their prayer. Matter of fact, so mighty that they weren't even ready to receive it. We need to pray for God's power. Now, we need God's power in pleasing him. In verse number 10, it says that, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We need his power in walking in his work. We need his power in walking in his work. Serving God through his power. Now, when we, on the back of this wall most of the year, we had John chapter 15, verse 4 through 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the tree cannot bring fruit, as the branch cannot bring fruit of itself, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. That last part of that verse is key. Without me, you can do nothing. Both of those verses point to that point of you can do nothing. Now, to be plugged into the power of God, we need to be plugged into the power of God in order to accomplish anything. for without me, you can do nothing. That is probably one of the strongest phrases you can say. I can come to you and say that if you're not plugged into the power of God, you are doing absolutely nothing. Isaiah said it like, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. The things that we do ourselves are just the same equivalent to a bandage that has been wrapped around a person with an infection. That's not what you want. That's not what we're going for. And we'll never get anywhere shooting for that. Now, we need God's power in pleasing him in his work, and we need to serve with our whole heart. James chapter 1, verse 8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, I'm actually going to turn because I don't have that one memorized. Sorry. Matthew chapter 4, chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Choose God and serve him with your whole heart. You cannot serve two masters. Can you walk left and right at the same time? Can you run and walk at the same time? We are built with a focus. We are built to focus. I know everybody says, oh, we got to multitask. We really don't multitask that well. We just switch. We don't do two things at one time. We just switch back and forth, focus from each thing quickly. But and we mask that as multitasking. But we are really built to have a central focus and to walk towards that central focus. Keep barreling towards whatever that central focus is. And we need God's power to keep that focus in front of us. So we have God's power in his work, and now we also have God's power in his word. We need to submit to the word of God. Now, wisdom is essentially putting the word of God in action, and the word of God, wisdom is essentially putting the knowledge of God into action, and the word of God is the knowledge of God. The power of the word is that it can clarify the path of righteousness. Psalms chapter 119, verse 105. I have it in there. Okay, Psalms chapter 119, verse 105 is, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, the only path that God's word wants to show you is the right path. You can even look back to the very common familiar passage of Psalms chapter 23. And you look and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And I'm going to turn there so I don't mess up the rest of it, as I already have. Psalms chapter 23. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. This is God's word. And if all he's going to do is lead you in the path of righteousness, if all he's going to do is lead you past to the calm waters, then you can trust that that is what his word is intended to do. Now, we need the power of the word of God in clarifying the path we should go, or the righteous path. And we also need it in cleansing our thinking and desires, or direction. Now, in Psalms 119, which is an excellent chapter, Psalms 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Now, that's not just talking about memorizing. People take that and they say, oh, let's just memorize the word. It's not talking about just memorizing. That verse is talking about filtering every thought and decision and action you have or make through God. How does God think about this? What does God say about this? How is this going to affect my relationship with God? What can I do with this to glorify God? If we can go back and Pastor hit this morning. I was like, man, I guess God's saying this is the right way to go, so I'm going to go there. Back to verse 9, it says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? How is he going to find a way to cleanse his way, or how is he going to find cleansing? And it says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. His word, God's word, is the way to find cleansing. Going on to verse 10, it says, with my whole heart, every part of my being, have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. He's saying, God, you take a Brita filter, put the God Brita filter in my mind and suck out all the impurities of my mind so that whatever comes in is sucked up and whatever goes out is clean and pure and is going towards your way. Add your God Brita filter this year. We sell them cheap with Bibles. Now, we need the power of the Word of God with clarifying the path of righteousness. We need the power of the Word of God with cleansing our thinking and direction. And we also need the power of the Word of God to cut down the strongholds of sin. Biggest thing that knocks a person off is the fact that they got a stronghold. The thing that keeps a person away from going out soul winning on Saturday, the thing that keeps a person away from telling someone about Jesus, or even better, where you don't even have to do a whole lot of talking, shove a track in their face like, here, and run. The thing that keeps you from doing that is the strongholds in your life. Holding on to the sin, building up a beautiful, huge tower to keep your sin hidden away and holding strong, the Word of God destroys that. Our weapon is the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And even more than that, let's go forward to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. Those things that you can't let go of, you just can't not let go of them because you just don't want to let go of them. It's because there is a spiritual component in there. The Word of God is here to cut that away. Use the Word of God, cut those things away, and step away from those sinful things, because you will never do anything for God until you do that. The Bible calls you to be righteous. It didn't call you to just live the life and live in this world how you want. The Bible calls you to be a separated people. That's why he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Separate them from that mess. You don't separate from the mess, you're going to be in Egypt forever. Love to have you in Canaan land. It's good. It's good over there. So we need God's power in our walk, or in our, excuse me, we need God's power in our work. We need God's power in, see, I got all wound up, in his word. And we also need God's power in pleasing him. We need God's power in pleasing him in our walk. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says, see that that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly means diligently and tending towards perfect. The verse is saying to take, saying to diligently take repeated steps after God. Diligently take repeated steps after God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as Gentiles, or not as other Gentiles or unsaved walk, in the vanity of their mind, not having God in what is what makes their mind vain. Not having the power of God over their life and over their thoughts, and bringing all of those thoughts and those desires into captivity is the thing that makes their mind and their thoughts and their works and all of those things that an unsaved person vain and worth nothing. We have God. You have, if you don't have God, you have the opportunity to get God right now. You have the opportunity to get God tonight. But if you do have God, you have God. You have God. You got the same God that Pastor James is talking about. Man, he started talking about the vision. Oh, glory to God. I have not been making God as big as he needs to be in my life. And tonight it's going to change. That's going to change. That's going to change. You have the infinite, awesome creator of all the universe, the controller of everything, the one that holds everything around you in place. You have that guy on speed dial and he's listening. He's actually picking up the phone and listening. You can't beat that. And if you're not using that, you need to change that and start using that tonight. Walk after him. We cannot walk perfectly without the power of God ordering our steps. When we choose ourselves where to walk, we walk away from God every single time. We don't have to even look at what you did now. We could just look at where you are, where you were before you accepted Jesus Christ. Every person in here before they accepted Jesus Christ was hopeless and on their way to hell. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. His own way. That's you. That's you choosing where I'm going to go. So if you didn't accept Jesus Christ, you were going to end up there. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ, glory to God, you don't have to end up in that place. You're on the second part of this. And the Lord, Jehovah, God, had laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquities of all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look, I don't see as many smiles out here as that there should be. If you're not saved tonight, you need to be. And if you are saved tonight, please remember that you have the infinite God on speed dial listening for you. Matter of fact, this morning on speed dial, he's calling you. He's calling you, saying, please pick up the phone and talk to me. Okay. All right. But God's power gives us direction in our walk and leads us to him. Romans chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. These are two of my favorites. I really enjoy them. End up there a lot with the teens. Let's see. Romans chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. Let us walk honestly as in the day. That is him telling you how to walk. Okay. Let us walk honestly as in let us walk honestly as in the day, not in riotous and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Choose God, put him first, stop trying to push him off to the side, stop leaving him in the stable, stop pushing him to the back of your itinerary, put him in the front, put him on, walk with him every day, and let him show you what he's going to do through you. Let him show you what he wants to do through you. You'll never see that if you're not willing to put him where he needs to be. It is the 31st of December, 2017, and I guarantee you, Jonathan Hooper has just told you that if you do not put God where he needs to be, you will never see where he wants to take you. So, we need God's power in prayer, we need God's power in pleasing him, and we need God's power in patience. Now, Charles Spurgeon said, patience is a grace, as difficult as it is necessary, and as hard to come by as it is precious when it's gained. Now, patience is the result of the power of God. This one's a little bit harder for me. Patience with others. I have a real hard time with that. I have a real hard time with it, but I tell you, lots of prayer. Jesus gave us some instructions on how to act patient, and where we're going to go is Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. You guys can go ahead and turn there. I'll wait for you guys to do that. I try not to get you guys to turn too much. I called it a lot of scripture. But in this section, this is not usually a place where you talk about the patience of God, but it is actually, there's some very key things to look for in this that show you and point you to the patience that Jesus Christ has shown us. Okay, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or three more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear thee, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now usually that's the section of scripture that we talk about church discipline, and that's pretty apparent in the fact that a person that doesn't want to confess their sins. What I saw there is three goes. I saw go and talk to your brother, and go to talk to your brother again with some other people, and then go again and talk to your brother with the church. Now, we see the progression, and we look, it's like, oh man, he didn't listen to his brother. He got two brothers or three brothers coming. Oh man, you know, now he's got the church. And all those things are absolutely right. But the fact is that God just kept telling him to go. He didn't just say, go once. If he says no good, write him off. That's patience. That's patience. And I tell you what, I don't know the same person that really wants to do that other than to come and tell you off. They won't tell you. They won't come to you sweetly, you know. I really, you know, the things you did was really a sinful thing, and that's not a good thing. They won't do that. They're going to be too busy trying to tell you, let me tell you about what you did and how I feel. That's not a Christian attitude. That's not a Christian attitude. So I see three goes. Now, we easily miss those three goes. Now, why three goes? Why three goes? Let me go back to Colossians chapter 1 because I messed up. I went too fast. I got excited. Got excited, amen. I got excited, amen. Amen. Someone else out there excited? Look, God is good. You guys are breathing, walking. I think everybody's in here walked in themselves. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Now, in verse 11, it says, strengthen with all might, according to the glorious power of God. Now, you got to kind of pay attention because you missed this. Now, strengthen with all might and according to the glorious power. Unto all patience. So that means because of his might, because of his power, it moves you into patience and all long-suffering with joyfulness. With joyfulness. I'm sorry, I should have read that before because you guys, with joyfulness. The thing that you'll miss there, the reason for the three goes, is because it is much more of a joy to restore a brother than to discipline a brother. Let me say it one time. It's much more of a joy to restore a brother than to discipline a brother. Sure, we look at that, you know, the passage, you know, it's absolutely about discipline, church discipline, and that's easy to pick out. But God is still reaching out. And that's what the joy is. Let's hold on. You got to hold on to that. You got to hold on to it. Because, like I said, patience is hard, man. And you guys know I get a little riled up. But the joy really is in patience. Now, one last thing I'll say about that section in chapter 18 is that that is absolutely patience in action. Now, we need, let me see. Sorry, I keep moving the thing. So we need God's power and patience. Now, patience, patience with others. One thing that we have to remember is that other people one thing that we have to remember is that we are sinners saved by grace as well. It's hard to remember that. Matter of fact, our selfishness, our selfish thought process and mindset will never allow us to remember that. But you know what will? You know what will? Our pride will use it as a justification for sinful action and occasion unto sin, or even sinful habits. Pride definitely comes before the fall. The next thing is, you are forgiven just like others. We mess up. We make bad choices. But God's patience with us allows us to endure. Okay. And the last thing is the difficulty with those two. The difficulty is to remember both of those. Remember the fact that you're a sinner saved by grace just like someone else. And then also remember the fact that you're a sinner saved by grace, but you're also forgiven. Okay. Sorry. Lost that one. Okay, patience is the result of joy. Now, we're going to turn over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. We're still working on this thought of God's power transitioning into patience and that patience causing joy or bringing joy. Oh, that's pretty convenient. I just have to look up on the page. Okay, Philippians chapter 10, or chapter 4. Verse 10 through 12, and I'm also going to read verse 19. It says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also care wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore to be content. I know both how to be abased or low, and I know how to have how to abound. It means having everything or being high. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full, that means not in want, and to be hungry, that means having a desire, both to abound and to suffer need. And the last part is verse 19, it says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to all of his riches, or according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Paul is saying that I have no wants or needs not provided for by God. That is a great deal of patience. When the money gets low at the end of the month, it's really hard to have that kind of patience, but this is exactly the kind of stuff he's talking about. When we're at the last tank of gas and we got to get to work one more day or the last couple gallons of gas, that patience is what he's talking about, understanding that God still has you. Paul is content in receiving whatever God deems good for him, and that is the power of God working through him again. That is the power of God working through him again. Paul was jailed when he wrote this. He was in the Roman jail when he wrote this. And he wrote this to the Philippian church. And it says, once again in verse 19, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is rejoicing and glorifying the fact that God has him, even in that. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Patience also perfects our character. Now, Adrian Rogers said, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. I tell you one thing about fruit. You will never find or see a fruit factory. Isn't that right? I mean, you see a shirt factory, but you never see a fruit, you see a shirt factory, but you see a fruit orchard. You see, there is no fruit without life. You cannot manufacture patience. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Now, patience is a muscle that we must exercise. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5, which also coincides with that, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Patience is when when it is exercised, it builds confidence and emboldens you to proclaim the love of God. As you see in verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4, you see that he was still proclaiming and boldly saying that God was his God was the supplier of his needs. Sorry. Okay, so we have we need God's power in prayer. We need God's power in his word. We need God's power in patience. And then we need God's power in the personage of Jesus Christ. Now, going into 2018, we need the power of God in prayer, power in pleasing him, and his power in patience. Now, as a Christian, if you lack the power of God, cleanse your heart and ask for his power, and he will give it. Now, if you are not delivered from the power of darkness, you need the power of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In verse 18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ came and lived on this earth. He came down from heaven and was born of a virgin. And he lived 33 and a half years, and he died on the cross. He went into the tomb for 3 days to let you know for sure he was dead. And then he rose again on the third day to let you know for sure that he is God. Jesus Christ rose from the dead to deliver us from the power of darkness. Jesus is the power of God in action. He is the power of God. Accept him tonight. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, please don't leave this room. Please don't leave this building without accepting him. And if you do know Jesus Christ, pray for the power of God to be over you in prayer and pleasing him and in patience.